Hello and welcome to Learn With Us. This is Nikos and today I'm with a repeat guest, Grant Timmernan from Google. How are you doing today?
Hey Nikos, I'm doing well.
How's life in the El Paso, Margarita, Guacamole country?
Muy bien, muy delicioso. I'm currently living in Mexico City. Moved here last weekend, which was 10 days ago. And I'll be living here for a month, speaking at a couple events here in Mexico City.
And where are you normally based again?
So I'm normally based in San Francisco, California.
Yeah.
But in the last couple of months, I've been speaking at various events, various dev fests, GDG groups in Latin America. So Santiago, Chile, Lima, Peru, Buenos Aires, Argentina, Medellin, Colombia, and now I'm in Mexico City.
Nice, man. I like to travel. It must be... When you signed up for Google, did you know you were going to do that much traveling?
Not initially. It's a combination of my desire of being able to reach different audiences and learn about different cultures and different people, as well as Google's an international company with developers around the world, and not just the 330 million people in the United States, but the rest of the 6-7 billion people around the world.
Yeah, so I've got some many statistics that you might find interesting. Nothing actual formal mathematics statistics, but I've noticed a lot more companies in London are starting to use Google Cloud Platform.
Oh, really?
A whole bunch.
Awesome. That's good to hear.
Just like banks are starting to use them now and stuff like that. Just the Google Cloud Platform seems to be gaining popularity. I don't know what they've done, but... to convince the higher powers. So.
A combination of our events plus solid products. I think it's taken a bit, but we are now really trying to perfect our serverless products. For example, we launched Google Cloud Run, allows you to deploy containers, and our machine learning offerings. There's a lot of cool things going on.
Yeah, I want to use a Google Cloud Run at some point to host some backends for Svelte apps using Sapper. I'm being a front end developer most of my career. Docker's takes me a bit getting used to.
Me too. To be honest, I didn't know what Docker was really 2 years ago, or even last year, but then it's not too crazy. It's basically you provide a Docker file and you install Docker locally on your computer, and you're able to simply run containers that have a fully isolated environment with all your dependencies set up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe I should write a blog post about Docker for front end developers.
Yeah, it could be helpful. I think a lot of front end developers' first experience with Docker is when you're working with a client and they have some build system you have to set up on your computer, and you're like, what are all these commands? And why do I have to do this? I don't like this. I just want to install node modules
Yeah. It's a little cryptic, I'll admit that.
I think that if you can run stuff on Google Cloud Run, it can save you money versus putting everything on serverless functions if you have a lot of throughput.
Yeah, that's true. So Google Cloud Functions is inherently single-threaded, it automatically scales, but if you have a lot of throughput to your service, you can leverage the concurrency of Google Cloud Run and being able to not have to spin up your function many times, but being able to just hot load your container.
Yeah. So I guess this Google Cloud Functions work the same as it's like an event-driven thing, single-threaded.
Yeah, so, I mean, fundamentally, Google Cloud Functions and Google Cloud run on top of the same system within Google Cloud. In fact, Google Cloud Functions is pretty much like a layer on top of Google Cloud Run. But it provides a developer experience where you don't need to provide a Docker file, and you get all these rich events for free, like uploading to Google Cloud Storage and Firebase events, etc.
Mm-hmm. So when we were talking, when I talked to you last, we were talking about Functions framework for Node.js. Now were you working on the team that did it for Go as well?
Yeah, so we started with Node.js. We announced that at Google Cloud Next in March of 2019. I'm in San Francisco, and we said, hey, we're going to open source the invoker, the runtime basically, or the library on top of the Node.js runtime that powers Google Cloud Functions. So we started there. We saw a lot of popularity. Now it's probably it is the most popular language for Google Cloud Functions. And we wanted to do more, not just for Node, but for other runtimes too. And so about 2 months ago, we launched the Google Cloud Functions framework for Golang. That allows you to develop your Golang functions locally on your computer. You don't have to wait any time to be able to test your code. And I think as of like last week or 2 weeks ago, we released the PHP functions framework. So PHP isn't quite a runtime for Google Cloud Functions, but I mean, we aim to make it so eventually. Right now, you can develop your PHP functions on Cloud Run.
So that's really, really cool. If developers aren't aware how nice it is to be able to test stuff locally from a native provider, because when I was first using AWS, then there wasn't really an official way to test stuff locally, and there were some like third party open source things that were kind of doing that for you, but it was like you weren't really sure of native support, or just to be sure that you could test it in a way that the people that were creating these functions and backend systems made it specifically for developers to use. And so that's why it's nice to have this sort of local first, you know.
I think the local development is, I mean, it saves you time with not having to deploy your code, and you can also write unit tests a lot easier. But it also allows you to develop like multiple functions at a time. Allows you to be able to test out like PubSub events, for example. There's a PubSub emulator where you can send requests to any URL, so you can just point that to localhost. And it also it connects to, well, you can make it easily connect to VS Code. So I personally think it's pretty convincing when you can go attach the Node.js debugger to your functions framework and be able to step through your code, see exactly what's happening. I mean, that used to be really hard to do with Google Cloud Functions.
Right. Yeah, I've done it. I use WebStorm, and then recently I've been just using Google Chrome to debug stuff.
Yeah, the Chrome Inspector. I haven't used that in a while, but that's a great way to debug too.
Yeah, and I think they're working on a network tab for the Google Chrome debugger in those as well. So the moment you can't see network requests when you're doing stuff in Node, which is really annoying when you want to
Oh,
test stuff interactions, then so hopefully there's a pull request or it's working on that on the Node debug inspect thing, whatever it is.
I would love to learn more about that and read a blog post. I mean, I think, well, for sort of weird how, well, there's the Chrome debugger, which is basically top the top class JavaScript debugger that I know of. And then there's VS Code, IntelliJ, WebStorm debuggers for Node. It'd be nice if, well, it'd be nice if there was just sort of one solution that everybody loved.
Yeah. So
But I guess.
how did you manage to go from JavaScript to Go?
So, well, the Google Cloud Functions team wanted to release the latest version of Go, I believe 1.13. And so we decided that, well, with new runtimes for Google Cloud Functions, we want to use the Functions framework. We don't want to keep developing internal function frameworks, basically. And so we decided, well, Go is a good candidate. It's very popular within Google. And so I think that was just a pretty popular language. And it's like statically typed. And so the Go team, me and one other engineer in New York, we all released the Go Functions framework.
So I've not actually used Go. Does it bear any resemblance to, say, JavaScript or TypeScript?
Well, not really. So Go's philosophy is a little different than JavaScript. So with JavaScript, you can have 10 node modules on NPM that do the same exact thing. And that's okay. With Go, ideally, you only write something once, and you write a very minimal API set for that package, and you use that everywhere. Also, the Go standard library is very robust. I think Node is becoming more robust, but traditionally you'd have like all sorts of polyfills and extra modules. That would be pretty standard. Like Go is pretty. So like for example, for Node we use the Express framework for Google Cloud Functions as like a layer on top of Node's HTTP module. But with Go, we just use the native HTTP module because it provides a pretty nice and clean interface. I mean, the language is statically typed. It compiles down to a binary. And it's very fast. Also, it has a lot of nice features like it's impossible to compile code with unused variables. So you're sort of forced to write good, clean code.
Nice.
I definitely would check it out. Like the tour of Golang is a great resource for getting started with Go. And you can even run Go within the browser.
So so Golang is statically typed.
Yeah. So Go is statically typed, and usually you compile it to a binary and then you run that binary.
Okay, so do you have to declare the type of the variables at compile time?
So it has, you don't have to declare the type, which is actually really nice, like, compared to Java or at least older Java. You can Go will automatically like declare the type based off of the assignment if there is an assignment.
Yeah.
And so you'll still have code that's relatively like not that many, not that long, but not that many characters. And you can add typing if you like later, sort of like TypeScript.
Okay, so what would be the, say I wanted to do like a function that, a Google Cloud function. So I wanted to do a Google Cloud function in the functions framework. Basically, it looks like Express, and you can write some code like, for example, I use it to send some emails, function's called an email sent, then there can be like a then method, a dot then to respond to coming back. So how would something like that look in a Go Cloud function? Like to be called by a HTTP method and then send an email and respond back to a call. Is it quite similar looking?
Yeah, it's pretty similar. So, with Node, you write a function that accepts a request and response object, and then you can send some response with like a string or some HTML with that response object. With Go, so you write a function, accepts a HTTP response writer, and an HTTP request. So you'll receive an HTTP request, like localhost 8080, or maybe like cloudfunctions.net. And then with your response writer, you can write at like any string that you want. Yeah, basically just any string. You could take that from a HTTP file, etc. Yeah.
So I've seen some companies in London are using Golang. What's their why do they cite using Golang versus something like Node.js or .NET or Java?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I think Go, well, there's a couple of reasons to use Go. One reason is, well, Go has a, as I mentioned before, like a very rich standard library. And so you don't need to install extra dependencies with your Go function. You can simply use the string utils, internationalization, HTTP modules within Go. I think from a developer perspective, lots of developers love Go because Go basically enforces great style for your code and very readable code.
That's okay.
For example, Go has an inbuilt formatter.
No way.
So, yeah, you'd think that Node would have one by now, but there still are many formatters for Node. So all Go code is formatted the same way, like throughout GitHub and basically any Go code you see will basically look the same in terms of formatting.
Nice.
And you just write the command is go format, go fmt, and you just type your file and it automatically fixes any of the code.
Wow, that's a productivity saving right there, man. Because like the amount of arguments that can happen in teams about formatting and discussions and testing, you're just saving about 4% right there of your of your coding time.
Exactly. So that's saving time, saving arguments. In fact, many IDEs just automatically format your code. Just run the formatter after you finish editing. So that's really nice. With Node, for example, especially with large Node applications, you'll have like dozens of imports on the very top of your file.
Yeah.
And sometimes like the order will be wrong or maybe you'll delete some code and you'll have an import that's not used. Well, Go will literally not compile your code if you have an unused import. And so as a result, every single file out there, every valid Go program always has the minimal set of imports.
Why do you even need the imports anyway? Why can't we just like have the code know where it is and we have to import stuff, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I think it's because there's some ambiguous cases where they'll have the same name.
I guess you don't want to have a whole bunch of keywords that you can't use immediately.
Yeah. So those are some benefits of Go. It's also, Go's still a relatively new language. And I think it's been developed very meticulously. So you're not going to see, it's pretty easy to learn. Like you won't run into many really weird cases where only Go does this or like something that's, I guess with Node, I feel like there's a lot of deprecated APIs and there's just so many, there's so much change.
There's so many ways to do the same thing.
Yeah. So many ways to do the same thing. The major version changes every 6 months. And with Go, there's only been one major version. There's minor versions, but as a lot of people say that the language is designed very, very well.
See, that's actually a very nice thing if developers don't realize that. It's sort of like a MacBook versus Windows, right? You have all these different hardwares that run on Windows, whereas Mac is just Mac. In the same way, with a lot of JavaScript frameworks and even JavaScript for the same framework, looking multiple libraries to do the same thing, and you're like, what one do I use? That's one of the good things about Ember JavaScript is Ember has like sort of agreed ways to do certain things, and the sort of community revolves around the specific parts of the libraries for various things, and that can actually save a lot of time having conventions. I guess it's a bit like Ruby in a sense, maybe.
I'm not sure about Ruby, but I think, it's been, I guess, more meticulous, a little bit slower. I wouldn't say it's really slow to develop, but it's been, very thought through. It's used at Google pretty heavily. for massively distributed systems. It also produces like a small binary at the end of the day.
Golang.
So, yeah, Golang.
Golang.
Yeah, those are all reasons I love Go. And
so
my two favorite languages are probably like TypeScript and Go.
Uh huh.
For different reasons. Depending on what type of application you're trying to build.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're trying to build a highly performant server that like can handle multiple requests concurrently, I would probably choose Go. Probably the one of the most fastest scaling like languages and APIs like servers you can build.
Can you give me any metrics versus a similar application in, say, JavaScript? Example, an application written in Google Functions Framework, Golang and Functions Framework Node, like, if there's any metrics.
Well, I know there's lots of metrics on just the performance of the start time for Go versus Node. Since, I mean, Node is, even though V8 has been optimized like crazy to be able to interpret your JavaScript as fast as possible. I mean, Go just fundamentally, it compiles to a binary. And so you're literally compiled to your operating system. And again, like there's no extra variables, there's no extra unused pieces of code. Like it's impossible to write branches that are never true in Go. So as a result, like your code execution is just more permanent and faster.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure there's lots of blog posts on Go versus Node.
Does Node performance. Does Node use C++ underneath?
Does Node?
Yeah, so the V8 engine.
It doesn't. I don't believe it uses C++.
I mean, JavaScript must
it,
be compiled to something, or maybe it's just interpreted.
Actually, yeah, I think it's written in C++.
The code never gets compiled, does it, or does it just run on the fly, like interpreted?
Node isn't compiled; it's interpreted at runtime.
Right, I see. It's been a while since I did Java and had to compile stuff.
Yeah, it is a different mentality, like when you're writing Go, or you have to compile it. But it's really not that large of a step. Like, it doesn't feel like writing Java for me.
Yeah.
It also compiles quite quickly.
Uh-huh.
I think that's something that a lot of developers love too.
Cool. So you've been touring around Mexico, and you've given like 10 talks at developer meetings.
Yeah. In the last 2 months, I can list them off actually.
Yeah.
I have the list here. I first spoke at Santiago JS, Santiago, Chile. Then I spoke to a partner firm in Lima, Peru called Endeavor. Then I actually went back to Santiago, spoke at DevFest Santiago, DevFest Buenos Aires, DevFest Cusco, Peru, GDG Lima, DevFest Lima. There's a cloud summit for Google Cloud in Mexico. DevFest Medellin, Colombia, Medellin JS, DevFest Cali. And then I'll be speaking at the DevFest in CDMX, which is Mexico City.
Nice. And what kind of food are you getting at these places?
There's, in terms of food, there's great ceviche in Lima. There's cuy in Cusco, which is actually guinea pig. In Buenos Aires, there's really great steak and some pastas I had. Like in Lima, yeah, there's really good pisco sours, maracuya sours. It's also a lot cheaper than in San Francisco. Mexico, there's great tacos, canitas.
So you're basically living out of hotels as well, I guess?
Also, I've been living in an apartment for a month in the city I'm living in. So right now I'm living in Mexico City. But when I'm traveling for one of these events during the weekend, I'll be at a hotel just for the day or two.
So you're traveling around by yourself, or are you with like a team?
So I'm for the weekend events, these DevFests, I'm traveling by myself to the location, and then usually all the speakers will meet up for dinner one night, get to know each other. But besides that, for day-to-day living, I'm living with about 20 other professionals in different companies. We're living in the same city for 1 month at a time.
Okay. I just have not come across against any developers that I know that have went to Mexico to work. I've no idea what it's like. You guess you have preconceptions based on whatever you've heard from the media or all the bad news seems to get on the news, you know.
Yeah, it's I feel very safe.
Right.
I felt pretty safe with all my travels. You get a lot of American propaganda. Well, also, I should say United States propaganda. Still in America, but not that part of the America. It's really safe. I'm quite lucky and working hard to make sure that I'm making use of my time in these cities. I'm trying to go to different developer events, speak at different developers events, see what are the issues with Google Cloud in these different regions, whether it's different data centers are not close enough or maybe there's not enough support with some product. This is all feedback I'm getting.
So there's a lot of companies in Mexico using Google products, I guess?
There's actually in all the countries I've been to, there's Google developers around the world, which is really cool.
So that's quite a big export market then for America. Cloud services.
A lot of developers that use Google App Engine or Cloud Functions. Cloud Run is quite new, so I'll see a lot of developers using Google Cloud Functions for Node. A lot of developers also use Firebase Functions with Firebase, like real-time database backend. It's really interesting seeing the Motley stacks every developer has.
I'm a bit confused with Firebase and Google Cloud Functions. Like, what's the difference between Firebase Cloud Functions versus just Cloud Functions.
Yeah, that's a good question. So I used to have that question too. So underneath it all, Google Cloud Functions is there's only one backend for Google Cloud Functions, which also powers Firebase Functions.
Right.
Firebase provides two unique things. One is they have unique triggers, which I think are actually adopted by Google Cloud Functions now. They used to be able to trigger, well, actually, in your code, you're able to trigger like whenever a real-time database entry is updated or whenever you get a Crashlytics event, some unique Firebase event. So that's one, the event triggers. And then two, with Firebase functions, you get a different developer experience where you're able to develop multiple functions at the same time and use one command line script to deploy all of them.
Right.
But underneath it all, with the Firebase, I mean, also the Firebase CLI, it's called Firebase Tools on GitHub. Underneath that, if you look in the source code, it's actually just using the Cloud Functions API.
All right.
It's just providing a developer experience that.
I think once I get my that Svelte library with the, basically a user social network type logging load register kind of thing written in Svelte and Netlify, I might try and do it in the same in Firebase and CloudFunks just so I crystal clear in my head what's going on, the changes
Yeah.
and stuff like that. Because and when you're creating Google Cloud Data Store tables, then you can also do it in Firebase mode. There's something kind of setting in there.
So when you're creating, is a Firebase setting with
When
sorry?
you create a Google Cloud Data Store database, there's
Okay,
like two
yeah.
different modes you can set it up in, either Data Store mode or I think it's called Firestore mode. I guess that's the same way, the same backend implementation as Firebase original tables. It's just a different con maybe a different console that you set up all these settings. I've not actually went into this Firebase application in a while. I've just been playing around with the Google Cloud console.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly with data store, but I mean, eventually, so like Firebase used to be an independent company, and then it was acquired, and we've positioned Firebase as more of the mobile backend for your applications, but we really want to use, I mean, the same backend. That's not really a point to create two different backends for a similar type of serverless system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, when I last talked to you, you hadn't really done much public speaking, but then you've now done like 10 conferences or something like that.
Yeah.
So.
So I've gone, I don't know if I would say maybe overboard on conferences, basically every weekend, speaking in a different city, talking about Google Cloud Functions, Google Cloud Run.
Do you get enough time to code?
I've gotten enough time to code. I think one thing that I've missed is, well, sometimes I'll work 6 days a week versus five, basically when I'm doing these developer events. But yeah, with releasing the Google Cloud Functions framework for Go, then releasing it for PHP, also writing a couple blog posts, I've been able to do some good amount of coding.
So you're almost like a product evangelist as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to figure out the biggest issues with Google Cloud Functions and then directly fix the product to solve those.
Yeah.
For example, like when I started posting on Reddit, I think like I used to just casually browse Reddit for entertainment, but there's also like a Google Cloud Platform subreddit, and got some really good feedback on how to debug functions in VS Code, and like basically whenever I get a question from either like a YouTube comment or from Reddit or from a GitHub issue, I'll likely create a blog post about it. If it's a interesting topic that hopefully we've solved, but it's just not transparent. And if we haven't solved it, like for example, we haven't created a Ruby runtime for Google Cloud Functions, then yeah, it's sort of my job to go end to end from that one comment on GitHub saying, I love Ruby, but I can't use Google Cloud Functions, to building the product, deploying it, getting everybody on board, to you evangelizing it. So I really love the end-to-end of being able to figure out what are Google Cloud's problems, and then bringing out what's the best way to engineer and solve that, create design docs, prototype couple scripts, and then eventually deploy and promote it, and then talk about it on stage.
Yeah. So I guess your first talk must be quite nerve-wracking.
I used to talk about G Suite and Google Apps Script. For last year, I talked in Seattle and San Francisco about that. Public speaking is something I'm not the greatest at, but I've always loved to do.
Yeah.
Ever since I was in college, I went to college in Seattle, the University of Washington, and me and my roommate started a hacker club that, what was it called? I'm trying to remember. But basically, like we would encourage any student to give a talk on some subject they liked.
Yeah.
So like this was like in 2014, I gave a talk about React because it's a new hot framework by Facebook. So I sort of just did an intro talk on that. But yeah, ever since then, I've been interested in public speaking, and I think looking at GitHub repos and technology and reading like the source code can get you only so far. I think there's a lot of value to actually having conversations around code and technology and different projects.
Yeah. So like the hive mind sort of produces the best code, or because I come up with lots of my ideas and I discuss them on Discord with other people, and then I sort of gather my ideas from conversations with other people and then quickly pick the best way to do stuff.
Yeah. Talking on the podcast like this, I think it's really interesting. Like everyone has their own background, their own jobs, their own like culture they live in, and so I love being able to share that and talk about it and learn from others.
Cool. So when are you going back to San Francisco?
So I'm going to go back for Christmas, which is just in a couple days, and see my family there.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then back to where after that?
And then I'm planning to go live in Asia for a few months.
Whoa.
We'll see.
For Google?
So, for Google, yeah.
Nice.
I'm still planning for a lot of different conferences and advocacy there. But hope to be able to land that.
So what more about Functions Framework?
Yeah, more about the Functions Framework. I think I'll also be pivoting towards, well, Google Cloud Run, and there's some developments with the Functions Framework and some developments with Google Cloud Run and other serverless products we're developing.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anything else you want to share with the audience about what you've been doing?
I think one other thing that I think would be great to talk about is, so with the Functions Framework, we've recently published basically a contract saying, if you want to define your own Functions Framework, basically if you want to define your own runtime on top of Google Cloud, this is the specification for how you do that. And so on github.com/Google Cloud Platform/functions framework, without any language, we basically have a guide on building custom runtimes. So if you're interested in Java, Ruby, .NET, Python, and interested in helping build a functions framework, I've created GitHub issues there for each of the languages that we don't currently have on Google Cloud. And I'd encourage anyone to either comment on what type of HTTP server library we should use for each language, or even start creating prototypes. And I'd love to work with literally anybody who's interested in developing these new runtimes for Google Cloud Functions.
Cool. That's a nice invitation there.
Yeah. So that I guess I'll leave it with that. Feel free to reach out to me on GitHub with my name is Grant, or you can also tweet at me at Grant Timmerman. I'm sure we'll have links in the description. Would love to hear your thoughts on the Functions Framework, on Google Cloud Functions General, Cloud Run, or Firebase Functions.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for your time, Grant.
Yeah, and also, thank you, Nikas, for hosting this. I think it's really awesome that, you first reached out to me, maybe 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And then we did our first podcast, and then I said, hey, there's some new updates with the Functions Framework, and so now we're doing this.
Yeah, I was excited. I was like, yeah, I've got this Google coming on again, you know.
Yeah. So keep in touch.
Yeah, man.
I'll see you next time.
Okay, buddy. Thanks for calling. See you later.
Yeah. See you, Nikos. Bye.
Bye. And thank you, my listener, for tuning in with Learn With Us. And we'll be coming again shortly with more techie content. So see you guys soon. Bye-bye.